It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today, and please, I hope that you'll enjoy the study. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 12. We're beginning at Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to read down through the 17 verses of that chapter. Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1 in just a few minutes. So please that you would open your Bibles to that. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and follow along. If you're traveling, why, please just listen very carefully as I read God's Word. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, as his head and his legs, and with the prudence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. In the first day there shall be a holy convocation. In the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Let's begin now with prayer after reading God's Word. Father, thank you today that we can come and be together. I praise you for this opportunity to visit with your Word. But, Father, it's not my words that will touch the hearts or change the hearts in any way. It is your word, it's your power, it's your spirit. He needs to come into the hearts. He needs to touch every heart that's listening today. And please, dear Lord, we know that if a heart desires to be saved, that you will touch their heart, direct them to the truth of salvation, which is Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood. Father, it's such a wonderful work that you have done for us. Please never let us take it for granted. Never let us forget about it. Please, that we are on our minds and our hearts every day. What a beautiful picture that we have here. Now, please, dear Lord, let us not miss one important part as we enjoy this study. Now, please, guide and lead us today. Touch the lost that they'll be saved. Touch the saved that they will grow. And they'll become strong witnesses for you in proclaiming the truth today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin the 12th chapter. And you know, as we looked at all the plagues that had come in the past, those terrible plagues that just set down and devastated the land of Egypt from one plague to the next to the next. And each time as we look, why, we find that the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. You know, Pharaoh's heart was so hardened, it was 11 times, and Pharaoh 4 times hardened his own heart. And so we see that, and you can do the same thing today. If you hear the word of God, you can turn and come with a humble, broken heart. You can come unto the Lord and be saved today. Or you can be as Pharaoh. You can harden your heart and you can step one step further away from him. Please, dear Lord, please do not. Lord, do not let them do that. We just want always the word of God to penetrate into the heart and bring salvation to the lost and a stronger belief, stronger faith into those that believe. So we begin here, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. You know, we find here that the year is just starting. God is putting a new beginning here for the nation of Israel. And if you'll notice what it said in the third verse, speaking unto all the congregation of Israel, he is speaking to them as a family, as a congregation. And so we have the start. And you know, every day, every year, and especially in our own lives, the day that we meet Jesus Christ, it is a new beginning. And we need to understand that every day and every year should begin with our God. We should be in service to him. We should be in praise to him. We should acknowledge him. You know, spring comes at this time of the year because we're looking at the month of March. And so when we speak of the 10th day of this month, that was the month of March, and it begins now at the first. I understand in the past in the land of Egypt why September was the beginning of their calendar year, and now God is saying, you have a new beginning. You're leaving the world. You're walking out of the world, and so I'm going to give you a new beginning. And you know, in the March and April, why we begin the beautiful flowers and the trees green back up again, the yards green back up again, it's just a beautiful time of birth in the springtime. Well, what a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and what we have in Jesus Christ, because we're born again. We have a new birth. We're made new, just like it comes in the spring. That's what happens when you meet Jesus Christ as your Savior. So please listen very carefully to today's study, because we've got much to say about coming by faith to Jesus Christ. And again, he spoke to the congregation here. We have a night that is appointed. We've already looked at that in the past chapter, what was going to take place in the land of Egypt and what was going to happen to the people of Israel. And so we're having this is the last and final judgment. It's the last and final plague upon the land of Egypt. It's the last and final time that we're going to see the strength of God, the power of God. And so it's going to be wonderful here as we watch this take place. The night's been appointed. The directions have been given as far as to kill the lamb, and we're going to look at that today. And then we have the lamb for 4 days, because on the 10th day they choose the lamb. On the 14th day they will kill the lamb. And that the time has been set for this sacrificial lamb to die. And it's not only, it is a beautiful picture of the sacrificial lamb, but it wasn't done on the altar, was it? It was killed, each family killed the lamb. And then it was a praise of his goodness, an acknowledgement of his goodness, acknowledgement of his deliverance. And so the most important thing, it's a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ and how he's going to die on the cross of Calvary. So as we begin to look through these verses of Scripture, now we're going to put all this together, so listen very carefully. He tells them, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months." Verse 2, "It shall be the first month of the year to you." So this new beginning. "Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel." We've spoke about that. "In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." And then on the 6th verse, "Ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month." Now we're going to stop there for just a few minutes and take a look at the purpose of that. This lamb is to be without blemish, without spot. So to be without blemish and without spot is exactly like Jesus Christ. So again, what a picture. But they're taking this lamb, and they are to bring it away from the flock, and they're to watch it for those 4 days. For 4 days, they're to inspect that lamb to see that there isn't some hidden blemish, or maybe the lamb would be a little lame, something like that. You know, when Jesus cleaned the temple courtyard out because they were buying and selling, and he threw over the tables, and he dumped over the money changers, and he ran them out. And what they were doing is they were supplying the sacrificial animals for the people as they would come to town. But what they were supplying them was just the leftovers, animals that were lame and had blemishes all over them in some manner or another. Maybe they were deformed in some way, and yet they were charging them an outrageous price, and they were required to buy it through them as they would come. You see what's happened? You see, the picture here has got to be the perfect Lamb of God. And you were to bring that lamb yourself. You were to go after that lamb. Now, if your household was too small, if maybe there were just two of you or three of you or four of you, that wasn't enough in your household to consume all of the lamb. And so they were told to join together with two or three families. And so they would come together. And, you know, we have a beautiful picture here of the worship. And God has given us the local church. But I believe that he has given us a local church, and I believe that he has given us in means. And when it says local church, we are to have a fellowship in each area. You know, some people drive a long ways, and some people belong to a great big church. And some folks can praise God and worship there, but it's awful easy to get lost in a big church. And when you have a small church and you have small numbers, you're able to minister to each other. You're able to see each other's needs. You know everybody by name. You can enjoy their fellowship. And I believe that even though the church was not started until the New Testament, This is a beautiful picture of the church. They were to come together. They were to come together for one purpose, and that was for to listen to the directions of God. And so it was a form of worship, and particularly the way that they were coming together. They were told to get the lamb, make arrangements here, because on a given day, the 14th day, we're going to kill this lamb. And so you be prepared. And somewhere along the line, I think that Moses added and told them of the urgency. I think that they were aware that they were getting so close to leaving Egypt. God through Moses had told the people that I will deliver you out of the hand and out of the land of Egypt. And I will bring you. And so we're following that right now. And these people, I think, were very much aware of the devastation that had continued to come upon the land of Egypt, that day was very, very close. And so they were to pick a lamb, and not just quickly, you know, not just without any thought or preparation, just go out into the flock and, yeah, that one looks good, and so we'll grab it, and that's the one we're going to kill. You know, I don't know why we're wasting the meat, but that's what we're going to do. And today, it seems like that's kind of the way we worship. We worship in an afterthought. Instead of coming into the house of God on Sunday morning to praise God and to honor God and come with a prepared heart, you know, and then be excited about coming back on Sunday night and Wednesday night and would not miss the every time that the door is open to be in the house of God because you desire the fellowship with other believers. Instead of that, today, why, it is just like they would have been if they just ran out, grabbed a lamb, and said, "Oh, this is good enough," or, "Hey, this one's lame, and so it'd be a good deal. Let's go ahead and get rid of this lame lamb here. That'll be a good spot." God expects our best. He expects the first. And so as we look here, it's very specific exactly this lamb, what he should be, without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out. And so they took it apart from them so that they could really watch it. So it was the best that they have. It was prime. And so we need to see that we give God our best, whether it be our time, our money, our talents. We need to share and give God our best. And they were expected to do the same here. So they would take this lamb, and they would gather together in the numbers, as far as however many there were, and they brought this lamb and watched it, inspected it, and waited then until the end of the time. And on the 14th day, we're told here to keep it until the 14th day, verse 6, of the same month. And the whole congregation, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel, shall kill it in the evening. And you know, as we have watched now, we have witnessed now, the Lamb of God is coming to pass. The Lamb of God is going to be slain. Now here, it's just a picture of what's to come. They are to do this Passover every year. And the Passover comes right up, and it is the time that Jesus Christ was crucified. You know, they had to get the body of the Lord Jesus buried. They had to get it to the tomb before nightfall because there was the Sabbath was coming. And it wasn't the Sabbath of Saturday. It was the Sabbath, a high day. And it speaks of these days here that we have just read about in this section of Scripture. And the Sabbath is referred to many different ways, but there are high days, and those days can be in the middle of the week for a special celebration, and that's what this was. Start on the 10th day, on the 14th day we're to kill the lamb. And so we find that taking place here, the death of this lamb. And you know, We find and enjoy as we look through. We've talked about the families. We've talked about the importance of the families, the strength of the families. Last time we were together, we spoke of that the church is never any stronger than the families. The country is no stronger than the families that are within it. And so please remember how important the family is unto God. And so here we have the families gathering together for quite a purpose, quite a reason. And do they understand what all's going on? No, they don't. But they are giving instructions because they shall eat it with their loins girded, their shoes on their feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And so they are leaving the land of Egypt. But for them to understand what was to take place, they did not fully understand, I don't believe. And you know, many times when we come by faith to Jesus Christ, do you understand what's happened? Do you understand what God has done for you? No. But when you come by faith to Jesus, it comes quickly. And you will begin to grow because you have the Holy Spirit within you to teach you God's ways. And so as we begin now to look at these and continue to look at these verses of Scripture here, I want you to see, and I don't want you to miss one little part. On the 14th day, the congregation killed the lamb. Now, I don't want you to miss this point. Because if they would have just killed the lamb, the death angel would have still come into their house. If they would have just killed the lamb, many people believe in a universal salvation. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, many people believe that was the end of it right there, because he died on the cross. That was it. Well, the Scripture is very clear that says there is no salvation if he had not risen from the dead. So there's more to our salvation than Jesus Christ just dying on the cross. There was more to the salvation of the nation of Israel than just the lamb dying. If every family would have, by faith, got the lamb, got the proper lamb, everything was done, killed the lamb, roasted the lamb properly, did everything right, except applying the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. If they would have neglected that, and that's, I'm afraid, what's gone today in most people, and people that confessing to be a Christian are not truly Christians. Because they have come by faith to Jesus Christ, but they do not, that when they come by faith, if and when they truly come by faith, you're saved. But salvation is more than just Jesus dying. It's his precious blood. Now, I've had folks that hate the blood, despise the blood. They don't see any reason in speaking of the blood. But look what would have happened if they would have not applied the blood. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male the first year. Take it out from the goat, from the sheep and from the goats. Ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month of the whole. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. When did Jesus die? They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. You know, as we look at this, if the blood was not applied to the doorpost, this death angel that's going to come and kill every firstborn, man, woman, and beast, every firstborn is going to die in the land of Egypt, except for those homes that are covered in the blood. Some people say that it's just the death of Jesus Christ. I believe in the death of Jesus Christ. Well, you need to come by faith to Jesus Christ. And when you come by faith, you may not understand the blood. The day you got saved, you probably didn't know anything about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The difference is that if you have said you've come by faith, but today you still deny the blood of Jesus Christ and its importance, you're not saved. You can't be saved and deny the blood of Jesus Christ. These people, if they would have denied the blood and rejected putting the blood on the doorposts and on the top of the the side and the upper doorposts. If they would have neglected to do that, that death angel would have come right into their house, Israelite or not. They'd have come right into that house. Because, you see, the blood was not applied. You need to apply the blood, and that comes by faith when we come to Jesus Christ and are saved. And I said, you may not understand that the day you're saved, but I guarantee you, I promise you, that if you're truly saved, you will learn to love the blood of Jesus Christ. These people took a new thought of the blood when they put that on there. They thought, how gross is that to put the blood of this animal across our door? How terrible is that? Now, if they thought that, and if they rejected that thought and didn't listen to the Word of God, they're not saved. So you see, today, if you reject the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't care what words have come out of our mouth, you're not born again. Because any born-again believer will love the blood of Jesus Christ, will enjoy its fellowship. If you're listening to that, says, Larry, I've never heard that. Well, think on it. Ask the Lord to direct you, because you're going to love it. And if you don't, if you despise it, then you're lost. You're lost, because God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit, and He comes into our heart and lives within our hearts, and He shows us the things of God. And one thing He shows us is the precious power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so on the 14th day, they killed this lamb. And on the 14th day, they took the blood of that and put it on the two side posts, on the upper door post of the house, where they're going to eat. And if you would have done that to your house, but you were outside your house the night that death angel came through, you'd have died if you'd have been the firstborn. And so you see, don't make your own plans when it comes to salvation. Because it has got to be God's way. It has to be. It can't be any other way. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ shed His blood that you and I can live. And the blood of Jesus Christ this very day is at the throne of God. Jesus Himself, as our high priest, and as the high priest was pictured through the days of the tabernacle and the temple, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest took the blood and took it right into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled that blood seven times, meaning completion and perfection, as being a picture of what was to come. Jesus Christ, His blood, His precious blood, there's not one drop that stayed on that ground. All the blood has been gathered and taken to the throne of God. Because, you see, it's His precious blood that covers me. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. And we have several verses of Scripture that we're going to look up concerning this Passover lamb. As always, the time just moves so quickly by. And so please that you, we're going to look up one, and then we'll get the rest next time we come together. Let's look to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 29. John 1, 29, our Passover lamb. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And we've got others in 1 Corinthians and 1 Peter that we're going to read. We're going to begin and look at the why the lamb was roasted with fire. We're going to again be reminded of why these plagues even come. It was to show Israel God's power and strength. It was to show the Egyptians the weakness of their gods. You know, and so for us to look at the Word of God, for us to see the Word of God, we cannot miss the need to apply the blood. Don't just believe in part of the Word of God. We need to understand and know. And the day you're saved, do you understand it all? No. But the Holy Spirit that comes to live within your heart will lead you. You need to trust by faith in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. Come to Him today. Please, humbly come to Him today. Turn unto Him for salvation. You've got to come by faith to Jesus Christ. The time is short. The days are numbered. Today is the day of salvation. So please, please come. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?